we are not afraid because you are faithful. And we thank you for that faithfulness. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 22 or 21. Matthew chapter 21. This is the story of the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Matthew 21, starting with verse number 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage and the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into a village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and the colt of her. Loose them, and bring them to me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt of the fold of an ass. And his disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their coats, and they set him there on. Now, it's a wonderful and beautiful story of Jesus' triumphant entry. Have you ever wondered why so many people were there shouting? They were there shouting because they'd seen the miracle of Lazarus raised from the dead. And just prior to this, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And so the crowd was there because of the signs and the wonders and the miracles that Jesus has done. And it's just the same today. People follow him for the signs and the wonders and the miracles, and they ought to follow him for the miracle of salvation. The greatest miracle that will ever be done is when old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Of course, that's not a salvation that's being preached today. There's a religiosity out there that you just come to Christ, sign a card, and join our little club, and worship the way we want to worship, and you'll go to heaven. But Christianity is totally different than that. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And these did not have a great relationship, but they praised him and gave glory and honor to him, and then he went on alone by himself to the cross, because there were just a few that gathered around the cross when Jesus was there. Most had forsaken him, forgetting the signs and the wonders and the miracles. Someone said, if I could just see a great miracle, then I would be able to believe God. Well, no, miracles don't make you believe God. You receive miracles because you believe God. Amen. Miracles don't make you believe God. I sat in a service where Brother William Caldwell prayed for a young girl. Well, she was really a child, totally blind in both eyes. And she called the girl to the platform, and he laid hands on her and prayed for her. She immediately, her eyes were open, and her family, when this took place, her mom and dad come to the platform and checked it out that she could see and said, yes, she can see, and went back to their seat, and it wasn't but a moment or two later they slipped out of the service. You see, the miracle that God had done for their child hadn't changed a thing in their old hard hearts, not one thing. But I tell you what, Jesus can make you brand new all over again. And that's why the relationship, it's one thing to say it's all about the Lord, it's another thing to really make it all about him and praise and worship him. So this is a very beautiful story. But I want to center in on just one little part, and I really don't have a sermon this morning, I just have a thought, Sister Anderson. I just have a thought, and this is not an original thought with me. I picked it up some time ago reading something in a Max Lucado book, but when I thought about this for this particular service, I thought it would be a very good thought that we would have. And I want to deal with the man with the donkey. I want to think about the man that had the donkey. And Jesus sent two disciples to get the donkey. And Jesus said, if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And another translation says, if anyone ask you why you are taking the donkeys, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. Now, I want to ask this guy some questions. I, when I get to heaven, if he's there, I'd like to go and ask him some questions. In fact, I believe there's going to be a place in heaven for just donkeys and some of these things that God has used through the years, through the decades of time in the salvation of man. But I'd like to ask this fellow some questions. Number one, I'd like to ask, how did he know? How did he know it was Jesus who needed the donkey? I don't know about you, but I'm not going to give my donkey just to anybody. That's my donkey. How did he know? How did he know? Did he have a vision? Did he receive a letter from a televangelist? Did an angel appear in his suit? How did he know that the Lord had need of this donkey? Was it hard to give? Was the donkey hard to give? I don't know about you. I got two dogs I'd give away instantly. I wish Jesus would want them. In fact, I pray he'd take them today. He can have them. Both of them. Doggy heaven. Woo-hoo. I'd like for them to go. So why do you ask the question, was it hard to give? Well, I ask that question because sometimes when God wants something from me, I act like I didn't know he needed it. Try that again. See, when God asks something of me, sometimes I say, Lord, I ignore him. I didn't know you needed that. Act like he didn't need it. So I want to know, was it hard for him to get? How did it feel when he saw Jesus riding on a donkey that lived in his barn? How did it feel? I want to ask him that. Just how did it feel? Did it make him proud? Was he surprised? Did he have any idea that his generosity would be used for such a noble purpose? Did it ever occur to you, sir, that God was going to ride your donkey? Were you aware that all four Gospels, now that's an important thing, the law of double mention, this is the law that's been mentioned four times in the Bible. You Bible school students all know about that. It's important. All four Gospels record the triumphant entry of the Lord riding on a donkey. Now, John doesn't say anything about the man, but the context of the story is there. All four Gospels. Did you know, sir, that it would be written by the writers, all four Gospels? Maybe you have some questions for the Lord, too. You see, all of us have a donkey. All of us have a donkey. We have something in our lives which, if it's given back to God, could, like the donkey, move Jesus and his story a little further down the road. He needs our help. He has no hands but ours, has no mouth but ours. Oh, you said he speaks, but only through his people. You see, God has limited himself. You know, we limit the Holy One of God because we do not give Him ourselves. We do not allow Him to speak through us. We do not obey God. Amen. The other night in the service, it was just going on. I was enjoying it. And the Holy Spirit told me, get out in the aisle and crawl down to the front. I thought, oh, I don't want to do that. That's nonsense, oh God. I don't want to do that. But I know enough about the voice of God that if He said, crawl down here, it was for a reason that I needed to obey God. Whatever God, if you want to take your pride away one night, give it to Him. I mean, that's a donkey in our lives. Amen. Our pride. And sometimes it can really be a donkey because it can really we can have stubborn pride. You know, we have stubborn pride that it's gonna be my way, or that's it. We're gonna do it this way and no other way. And I want you to know God is a God of variety, right along with a God that is a variety, but a God that always adheres to His word. Come on. Amen. Someone said, well, what about all this jumping? Well, you know what? The Bible says jump for joy. You say, oh, hallelujah, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say jump so you get joy. It said jump because you got joy. The man was healed. It's anyone walking and leaping and praising God. You jump without the joy. You don't have anything with sore feet. And what I got whiplash when my belly hits me in the nose. But if I have the joy of the Lord, I can do anything I want to. I can run, jump over a wall. Glory to God. I can shout and I can dance. Someone said, just when do you get in the Spirit? I tell you what, when you get so full of God that this flesh can no longer take it and it begins to act up. Come on. That's why I used to say I danced 1,000 miles in the Holy Ghost backwards since I've been in this thing. Because my flesh couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle the glory. Couldn't handle it. Hallelujah. What about your donkey? My donkey, if I'll give it to God. We all have a donkey. Maybe it's your singing. Oh, I said, don't you call mine singing a donkey. Well, that's all it is. In fact, let me tell you something. You can keep your talents. God doesn't need them. Somebody said, I'm giving my talent to the Lord. Keep them. He doesn't need your talent. He wants you. That's what He wants. He wants you. He just wants you. He wants to deposit His life inside of you. And so if He controls you, it's no longer your talent, but it's His talent. Hallelujah. And He can use His talent to do anything He wants to do. If somebody else give it to Him, give Him your donkey. Give the Lord your donkey. This fellow had no idea when the day started out that he was going to be asked for his donkey. Maybe your donkey is to be a gopher. Somebody said, what's a gopher? Years ago, we had a high-powered pastor here, Pastor Hill, and he could preach dynamically. And his daughter married a young man who had went through the Teen Challenge program. And he didn't have much talent. Didn't know much. We had him over for a lunch one Saturday, and while everyone was huddled around the great man, you know, and they do, there's nothing wrong with that, but they were huddled around to get his wisdom and what he would say. I was alone in the living room with this young man, and he was sitting there kind of subdued, and I said, sir, what do you do in the ministry? Oh, he said, I'm just a gopher. I said, you're what? He said, I'm just a gopher. I just go for things. I said, you're a facilitator. You know, he wouldn't be half what he is without you. Do you ever think of that? Jesus wouldn't be riding nothing if he didn't have this man's donkey. Come on. He'd been riding a bicycle or walking. But the prophecy said he had to have a donkey. So he called for a donkey, and the man gave his donkey. I told this young man, I went into a diatribe of preaching like I always do, and I began to tell him how wonderful it was and what a good job it was and how that pastor, that his father-in-law wouldn't be anything without him. I said, you carry his Bible, somebody's got to carry it. You give him water, somebody's got to give him water. You facilitate the man of God. Don't hang your head down, son. Lift your head up. God needs your donkey. Hallelujah. Your donkey might be playing an instrument. So I'm better than that. You got to listen to yourself. Everybody makes mistakes. Amen? Everybody makes mistakes. But everybody's talent, nothing but a donkey. God says, tonight I'll use you. Tonight I'll use you. I've had occasions where the Holy Spirit would be moving, and I could hear Luke on the horn over there. And I just pointed at him and said, play me a little bit of that. You know, play me some of that. But see, I remember when he sat on this side, and all I heard was to the whole church service. Now, you can't go to a lot of churches and play if that's all you can do. Huh? But after a while, that become a melody. Amen. And now it's become anointed. Come on. And now he can bless. And that donkey, hallelujah, given to God, can bless people. He said, praise him on the instruments. Every once in a while I say, praise him a while on that thing. Praise him a while on that. Praise him on the drum. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But they're just all a bunch of donkeys. That's all it is. Maybe your donkey's to drive a nail. Maybe your donkey's to give a hug. Do you know, and you boys that aspire to be preachers, I'm going to tell you something. There will be days that you need a hug. You might not think so. You might think, I'm going to tear down the walls. In fact, I had a fellow the other day come to me who started a church, and I mean, he put me to shame. I listened to him. He said, I'm going to start within 2 years. I'll have 5 churches established. And he said, I'm going to build this kind of a church and that kind of a church. And said, the people will be a flocking in, and they'll be coming in. And I thought, Lord, I don't have no vision at all. But he's back the other day kicking the dust on my driveway where there is no dust, is blacktop, saying, I sure hope he comes. I sure hope he comes. I put my arm around and say, you be faithful, he'll come. You be faithful, he'll come. Amen. Maybe your donkey should be able to program a computer, John. But where would we be? We didn't even see our video because the computer wouldn't be programmed last week. Maybe your donkey is to write a check. Amen. For the Holy Spirit to speak to you and say, give. And you have it to give, and you just write out a check. Just write out a check. I can tell you the times I've come to this pulpit needing $5,000 or $6,000 on Monday morning, and Sister Cantor said, there is nothing in the account to pay the payment on the church. Now, we need $5,000. I never got up and said, we need $5,000. Who'll give a 500? Who'll give five? Who'll give this? Who'll give that? And raise the 5,000. I just said, Lord, you know this little old crowd that's here. You know, hallelujah, how much we need. And we have never, never missed one of our payments because God used somebody's donkey who wrote a check and didn't even know why they were writing it, just said, I just feel like I ought to give an extra $1,000 this morning, or I ought to give an extra $500, or I ought to double my tithe, or I ought to just give a little bit extra, and nobody said anything, but God supplied the need because God knows all about it. Whatever your donkey is, it belongs to him. Now, in the original wording, Jesus said, if anyone asks you why you are taking the donkey, you are to say, this is the original now, its Lord is in need. Its Lord. The donkey's Lord. It's not your talent, it's his talent. It's not your donkey, it's his donkey. He said his Lord has need of it. Jesus used the language of a royal levy.
And it was an ancient law which required citizens to render to the king anything or any service that he might request. And so when the king makes a royal levy upon us and says, I need it, it's mine, give me what's mine, you give it up freely.
I don't know what he's going to ask of the older folks. I don't know what he's going to ask of young people. But I know everything belongs to him. You see, the donkey's not the only list. How about Rahab's rope? When I get to heaven, I'm going to say, show me that room where all that insignificant stuff is. And I'm going to say, what's that rope? I said, that's Rahab's rope. Let it down on the wall. Thank God she had a rope and she gave it to God. Come on. How about Paul's basket? I mean, they don't kill him. They will kill him and put him in a basket and let him down over the wall. If Paul didn't even need a basket that day. If he knew he was going to need a basket, he'd be in the market early in the morning looking for a big basket. All day long, you say, Paul, what you got there? He said, I got that basket, man. They're going to stone me after a while. I'm going to get out of here. They're going to be after me. I got a basket. He didn't know he needed that basket. And you don't know what God's going to ask you for before this day comes out. You don't know, but you've got to be ready to give it to him, whatever it is. How about David's sling? Somebody said, oh, that David, boy, he's a good big shot. I tell you what, David was a man after God's own heart. Nick so well said it, but he was a human man. He killed a lion and he killed a bear. You know, he had lion livers and bear burgers. And that little old sling's going to be there. And I guarantee you, when you get it, it's not going to have no trigger on it. It wasn't that David was such a good shot. I've heard preachers preach for an hour on what a good shot David was. Tell you what it was. David said, I come not in my name, but I come in the name of the God of Israel. I heard something right there go click, click. God's shotgun, click, click. I come in the name of the God of Israel, click, click. And that sling let a little stone go, and David threw it not any harder than he ever threw it. He just threw the sling. Amen. David wasn't such a good shot. It was God that was a good shot. Amen. God needs your donkey. We're never going to do anything until we give God what we have. God needs our donkey. How about Samson's jawbone? I mean, a donkey died so Samson could beat the one out of the Philistines. You know what the one is? I'll tell you after church. The stuffings. How about Moses' staff? I believe I can walk in that room in heaven and say, what's this? And I grab a hold of it, and it's a dead stick. Somebody said, oh, you grab a hold of it, it's full of the power of the Holy Ghost. No, it's just a dead stick. Just a dead stick. Just a donkey. But it smote the rock, and the water come out. He held it all over the Red Sea, and the waters parted. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see a coat wadded up here in the corner. What is that coat? Oh, they said that coat belonged to one of the disciples. I said, do you remember when Jesus was on the boat and he was tired and he wanted to rest? He folded up this coat and laid it down, and the master put his head on it and rested that night. Oh, hallelujah. You say, does Jesus ever need rest? He's an intimate God. I love him, for he is mine. I love him, for he is divine. I love him forever, it seems. This Jesus, the Nazarene. I want to lay my head on his breast, and I want to allow him to feel free to come and to ask me anything that I have. Lord, anything I've got. If it's my pride, anything that I've got, I want to give it to you. I want to give it to you. Anything that I've got, its Lord needs him. Then there's Mary's ointment that our Mary sings about so beautifully. Mary, the alabaster box. Hallelujah. I'm going to smell something in that room. I'm going to say, what's that smell? They're going to say, oh, that's the smell that Mary put on Jesus. Oh, and I'm going to say, oh, that makes that smell even better than it smelled before. Because it laid on the body of our Lord. God give us the talents. That's quite a fraternity, is it not? Remember, we are sharecroppers of his vineyard. Don't forget who owns the property. Amen. With this, I close this morning. You might have nothing but a mere testimony. Jesse is working in children's church this morning, but he gave a testimony. A testimony. A 19th century Sunday school teacher, which you don't even know his name, he taught Sunday school in Boston. And one day he was buying a pair of shoes, and there was a shoe clerk there. You don't even know his name. His name was Kimball. Kimball. Mr. Kimball went in to buy a pair of shoes, and he was a Sunday school teacher. And the young man that waited on him, we all know. His name was Dwight L. Moody. And he told Moody about Christ. Moody's heart was moved toward God. Became one of the greatest preachers. Moody influenced a man by the name of F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer, one of the great Bible expositors. F.B. Meyer had great influence over J. Wilbur Chapman. And my library is full of books with J. Wilbur Chapman. He was the great worker in the YMCA. Chapman was so moved of God that he called to North Carolina an ex-baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday. And he preached a great revival in North Carolina. And the power of God moved. You haven't heard anybody preach until you heard Billy Sunday preach. He was a character within himself, but he knew God. After that meeting, the church was so stirred that they wanted to continue the revival, and they called a fellow by the name, and I told you this last week, Mordecai Ham. And in Mordecai Ham's revival, Billy Graham got saved. Hallelujah. Father, what can I give to you today? That's the question. On this Palm Sunday, what can I give to you? I want everyone to stand. Father, what can I give to you that'll move this gospel a little further down the road? That'll carry Jesus a little further. What can I give? The first thing you can give to him is your life. If you do not know Jesus, and if you're here this morning and you're not absolutely 100% sure that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I didn't say join a church. You might be a member of this church. You might hold office. You might teach Sunday school. There's a lot of preachers that are preaching that are not even saved. Not even saved. A lot of people are trying to think up a new idea to write a book to make more money. The man I told you about at the beginning of this service, I know he's a good man. I'll tell you what, when we get our eyes on the things of this world, we'll make up things. I'm telling you, my Jesus is not a quitter. You see, if Jesus had to have an angel to keep him from abandoning his cause, then he's not my example. Then I can say, God, you owe me an angel. You owe me one. You gave one to him, you owe me one. And then he says, I gave you many angels, but I don't give you angels because you're going to give up. I give you angels because you are determined to do my will, and they will strengthen you.
make you and help you. But you must choose.
All good intentions lead people away from Christ. I want to give him my life. What's your doctrine? What's your doctrine? What do you want to give to Christ? Maybe he's going to ask for some things that are not yet usable, like your temper. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. You know, sometimes preachers need to get up and go. They need some stamina. They need some bulldoggedness. They need some stick-to-itiveness. Sometimes that's just brought in by pure anger. It's turned over to God. Jesus went into the temple. He was angry. He didn't sin. He turned over the money changers. He said, you made my house a house of merchandise. Somebody said, oh, that's a mean old preacher. Oh, no. He said, you missed the purpose of God. I want us to, if you hear and need the Lord, I want you to come.